This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success.
Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer with my esteemed host, and we have an incredible guest, a man I look up to. I love his content and I love his leadership. But what I found out about Tom Bilyeu is he's actually a filmmaker, and he took a long route to become a filmmaker. And I heard a story when I was down in Mexico City with Tom Brady and Chicharito and him, is that he actually, if he knew how long it would take to become a billionaire from being an entrepreneur, he just would have stuck with making films. And Tom, welcome to Office Hours.
Thank you, man. Excited to be here.
Well, we got a great group of guys here, and I want to explore that idea of chasing a dream, because there's so many people that timing and risk tolerance play a role in how we effectuate our long-term objectives that we think we want. In retrospect, do you think you really would have just stuck with being a filmmaker, knowing what you know today, or would you have been able to still do what you did by funding filmmaking, by becoming such a successful entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, so clearly it worked out to do it the way that I did it. But yes, I still now have a big hurdle to overcome, which is I don't know people in the industry that I'm now trying to break into. And so while I have the funds enough to brute force it, had I come up and earned my keep and my money in the film industry, then I'd be a lot farther ahead. So this really comes down to a question of, do I think now, knowing how rapidly I was able to learn and evolve, do I think that I could have learned and evolved inside the film industry such that I could still control the resources now, but also have a network of people that are in that industry? So yes, and really this is a question of, you know, what would you advise either your younger self or what would you advise to somebody else going through it? And I would very much advise people to go straight into the thing that they know that they want to do. Because the people that you know are going to be insanely important. And now, and honestly, now I'm in video games more than I would say film, though film is still part of our strategy. But video games ate the world about 15, 20 years ago. And the difficulty, the learning curve in that is the single most difficult thing I've ever done. So for that reason, also, I wish that I had been involved in storytelling through the lens of video game production for, you know, a very long time. I'd be so much farther ahead than I am now.
Was a perfect,
that's the truth,
bridge to the friend next to me, Dan Fleischman, because I've known him since he was an 18-year-old who went to the same high school that I did. And our relationship capital absolutely is the most valuable asset that we have. And he is one of the kindest people I know. And that is truly a tool or a weapon that we've always used to build the neighborhood that helps each other. And thanks for showing up here to help me.
Happy to be here. So, Tom, I have a business/personal question to ask you. So I've been with you at events and I've seen you on stage and talking for 1,000, 2,000 people. And then afterwards, you'll sit on the corner of the stage and answer 50 questions, 100 questions, sometimes till 11, 12 o'clock at night. That's a lot of hours for someone that's very busy. Why is it so important to you to sit there and answer question after question after question?
Well, the honest answer is I feel like an average person who has encountered extraordinary ideas that are very useful. And there is a thin veil between the level of success that I've had and your average person's life. And to pierce that veil, they simply need to adopt the set of ideas. And then obviously they have to execute against them. It's not enough to know the ideas. You have to do something. But I really believe that. And so once you really believe something like that, you want to get the ideas out as fast as you can talk. And when people come to an event like that, they've selected themselves as somebody who is clearly ready to make a change in their life. And so, yeah, I'm just trying to get the ideas out there and hopefully arm somebody with the ideas that will allow them to go on and be successful. And that is the juice for me.
I love it. Awesome. Tom, good to see you again. Hey, you talked about evolving just a little bit ago. And what I would love to know is going, you know, you have one of the biggest stages where some of the biggest brains in the world want to be on your show, on your stage. But when you made that shift, you're going from Quest to this other spot. What, like, you don't have people wanting to be on that stage initially. They don't know your stage initially. So what was that start? Right now you have people banging your door down to be on your stage. How do you get started knowing you want to interview these huge names in all these different industries? Did you have a game plan? Did you know we're going to throw it up on YouTube, or was it just kind of, was it messy in the middle of that? I would love to know the beginning of that.
Yeah, I'd say everything has been messy. The way that I approach everything is I'm not trying to do things in any clean fashion. I am going to bulldoze my way through any obstacle. So look, at the end of the day, you have to get good at something that matters. And I have what I call the arrogance of belief. Now, the question is, what is it that I believe in arrogantly? And that is that I can get good at anything. It's what I call the only belief that matters. So the reality is, as a human animal, all of us are able to put time and energy into getting better at something, and we will get better at that thing. That is what makes humans the most dominant apex predator the world has ever seen. And so I just believe in that, like blind faith. And life has taught me over and over that it is true. So when I'm going to do something new, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to become good at this. I'm going to have to become so good they can't ignore me. And that means that I'm going to have to pour time and energy into it. Now, when it comes to media, A, it's my first love, and B, I'm highly verbal. So it was very strategic that I knew if I'm going to get people's attention in this arena, I need to do it in a way where I'm going to get disproportionate results. So for me, if I spend an hour focused on something that leverages my verbal ability, maybe I get a 1.4 return on that, where somebody else might get a 1 return or a 0.8 return. And so for them, even as they pour energy into it, they're going to have a hard time keeping up with me, because as I pour energy into it, I'm getting that disproportionate return. So whenever you can find something that you have an unusual advantage on, definitely take advantage of it. But I have, you know, I spent almost 20 years in business before I stepped in front of a camera. So it wasn't like, oh, that was my big strategy from the jump. The opportunity presented itself. I knew I could get better. And I knew, because no matter how late to the game you are, there's a phrase I invite everybody to live by, which is there's always room for the best. So it just becomes a question of, are you prepared to do enough work that you'll actually become the best? And I was. And so I just started pouring myself into it. And then on top of that, I started with small guests. And so I wasn't like too proud to go after somebody who was tiny. Went after a tiny guest and just was like, I'm going to treat this like I'm interviewing the most important person in the world. And because I would do 12 hours of research for a guest nobody had heard of, it was like people just started going, holy cow, like this is special. This guy's different. Word of mouth, you know, early days. And then that's it. And that's the formula regardless of industry.
And I'll tell you, it worked both ways too. When coming on his show, being on other shows, you saw the difference of the research that he did. I even told him after the introduction part of the interview, I was like, hey, can I use that? That was probably the greatest introduction I've ever seen. You know more about me than my mom or even Dan, or even Dan, who's known me since I was 18. Chad?
Yeah. What's interesting is impact theory is the reason that I had the confidence to start a podcast 6 years ago. And I think it's been the gold standard. It continues to be the gold standard by which every podcast of the 2 million podcasts are set.
Or more.
Or more. And so my question is, in that growth of building what is arguably probably the best thought-producing content out there, did you have expectations or requirements? It seems that people have expectations that they want. It seems like you have requirements of what will be done to get what you want.
Well, I think Tony Robbins really did say it best when he said, you're not going to get what you want, you're going to get what you need. And so I put a lot of energy into figuring out how I can get myself to need something. Also, there's a great quote by George Bernard Shaw, which is that the reasonable man conforms to the world. The unreasonable man insists on trying to conform the world to him. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. And so I embody that. And I embody it because it's so effective. So once I set my mind to something, if it does not violate the laws of physics, I am going to do everything in my power to make it come true. And you really have to cultivate that sense of this is possible. And so anybody that's telling me that it's not is simply they have not adopted the right ideas in their life yet, or they're not the right person to be working with me. That's for sure. And I will warn people in my company. I will drag every one of you across the finish line if I have to, but I don't want to drag anybody. So let's figure out if this is going to be a long-term home for you, how we work together to get this done. And my team just realizes over enough time that I am very willing to listen to ideas that will help me get where I want to go faster. And if they believe that the current path I'm on will be actually a worse path to my end goal, I will listen to that. If they come to me and they're just like, this is going to be too hard or this is impossible or whatever, that I will be completely deaf to that message. And look, 20% of the time I'm just out of my mind and it isn't going to work and it ends up being a failure and I fall on my face. But 80% of the time, just by being unreasonable, I get things done that other people think are impossible. And it's one of those, I can't want it for other people, but I'm like, there is nothing special about me. It is simply that I refuse to accept no for an answer.
Yeah, speaking of which, one of the difficulties is when you have that mindset is wanting it for other people more than they want it for themselves when you have such a high standard that we hold to ourselves. I'm going to squeeze in one quick question, if you don't mind. I have found throughout my years and through the successes, failures, voids, shortages, and obstacles in my life that prioritization is a confirmation of the unreasonable mindset that I have. That I cannot be overwhelmed, nor can I procrastinate if I have a criteria, whether it be unreasonable or not, in order to prioritize the activities of my day and the people and the ideas that I surround myself with. Do you have any tips for people? Because I see you as the same elk. The time that I spent with you, you're a man who prioritizes his day according to the trajectory of where he wants to be or better. Do you have one tip that you can give us about prioritization as an antidote to procrastination and feeling overwhelmed?
Ooh, so I find that procrastination and prioritization are two distinct phenomena and that teasing them out becomes very important. So procrastination is one, there's almost certainly a biological component to it in that you're doing something that allows your mind to be very all over the place. I won't derail us on a diet conversation, but know that that's probably part of your problem. And so the other is identity. So if I'm the type of person that Monday through Friday, if I'm awake, I'm either working or working out, and I'm the type of person that like relentlessly pursues my goals, then it becomes a question of, do I really care about that goal? Do I actually think it's possible? And if so, am I abiding by my identity and my rules? And so for me, it all becomes very mechanistic. It's like, I know that I'm supposed to be working on this. I get that I'm going to be tempted to do something else, but to be the person I want to be and feel the way I want to feel, I must do this thing. And because I really want it, and I know that nobody's making me do that. My goals are making me do that. My goals have made a demand of me. And so now I'm going to execute against my goals. And so you have to put yourself in the frame of reference of, I do whatever my goals demand within my code of ethics, obviously. But I'm going to do anything within my code of ethics to execute against my goals. And so procrastination is somebody who either doesn't want their goals very badly, has let themselves get in total disarray from a biological standpoint, or is they haven't built the identity and the rules that they need to just make it obvious that they're doing the wrong thing in that moment.
Tom is a man that enjoys the consistent every day, persistent without quit pursuit of his own potential, not worried about what's missing, what he doesn't have, or what other people want for him. That's why I've loved him since the day I met him. Just an honor to have you on our show again, anytime, any place. If you're not following Tom Bilyeu, you've never heard of Impact Theory, please do so. I promise you it will impact and change your life. That's what we're trying to do here with my incredible co-hosts and the incredible Tom Bilyeu. Thanks for joining me here on Office Hours.